We're talking today with the Dean of the Division of Agriculture at Oklahoma State University, Dr. Tom Kuhn. Tom, let's talk a little bit about some of the things going on at OSU. You were sharing there's some exciting, positive things happening right now with the Division of Ag, College of Ag. Starting with College of Ag, enrollment continues to kind of be a bin buster.
It really is. It's so exciting. It's one of those. It's kind of like the wheat crop last year. Our enrollment is the highest it's ever been, and it's not just inching up. It's jumping up 5, 7, 9% per year on our undergraduate enrollment. We actually jumped up 20% in our freshman numbers last fall, for example. And we're keeping them. We have the highest retention rate, that is the percent of them who come the next year, of any college at Oklahoma State. We're well above the national standard of 85%.
What's going on, do you think, that's attracting people to agriculture?
Well, I think part of it is we have a really good marketing team as far as why they're coming to Oklahoma State. But you'll find the same thing at the other land-grant universities across the country. So, you know, for one thing, a couple years ago, Purdue University came out with a study they did for USDA that showed that there are 58,000 jobs unfilled in the food and agriculture sector. Those are jobs available today that require a degree. And so, you know, that kind of news, I think, is getting out. And in addition, I think we're doing a better job of helping young people understand the breadth of opportunities in agriculture and natural resources. So, you know, we certainly think of production agriculture as a core foundation for it. But there's marketing, there's communication, there's product development, there's food processing. On the retail end, understanding consumer behavior, educating consumers about where their food comes from. They want to know more about it. Okay, let's figure out a good way to deliver that. So helping young people understand there's that breadth of opportunities, I think, is helping us.
I know that, you know, you mentioned the Food and Ag Product Center, for example, an example of one of the success stories for OSU, for the Division of Ag, but for the university in general. 20 years old, that's hard to believe.
I know. It's really exciting. And actually, you go to look at the building, and it doesn't look 20 years old. I mean, it really looks brand new, and we continue to add value to it with new techniques, new technology, and so on, other improvements. But, yeah, it's, you know, the beauty of it is there it is right in the center of campus, and its focus is not on campus. Its focus is on the industry across the state. So whether it's someone trying to take their special salsa to market or someone trying to figure out how to take their large meat processing facility to an even larger scale, we're there for the whole spectrum. And I think it's helpful for the industry to have that resource. We feel that it's an attractant for other companies to come. A good example, a new company in Durant, Oklahoma, that came here from Oregon. They wanted to add another plant farther east. They chose Oklahoma, and they chose Durant in particular because they saw an opportunity there, access to a very large market across the Red River, but also access to the source material, the protein that they work through their products. So, you know, we think that FAPC really helps to encourage that kind of growth in the food sector.
Of course, they're a world leader in food safety.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, in fact, one of the things that we've done, and we're the first institution to do it, is we've created an undergraduate program that focuses on food safety. And with new regulations, the Food Safety Modernization Act, as well as sort of private self-imposed standards that are coming from the industry through the Global Food Safety Initiative, there's a demand for greater expertise on the floor of a plant or on the farm to make sure that food that's coming out of the field or out of the feed yard is going to end up as safe to eat at the ultimate consumer. So we're trying to supply that labor force, and, you know, there's a high demand for it right now, and we can't get enough students to come into it, really, to feed the market.
You shared with the AFR group today some of the concerns on the extension side, on the research side. No tuition dollars, of course, are helping offset the losses of state funding a challenge?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've lost $10 million in the last 2 years to our overall budget. And so that by force means we're going to be a smaller organization. But it also forces us to think about doing things differently that we probably should have been thinking about anyway. How can we be more efficient? How can we be more expert than we are now? How can we deliver information differently using technology so people have access to it whenever they want to find it rather than having to wait for a workshop to be presented on that topic? So, we're rapidly changing our skill set within our staff so that we can be delivering and at the same time still have that personal contact available, especially for our 4-H program that people really have always associated with cooperative extension.
You indicated here that 4-H is a top priority.
It is. It's the largest youth-serving organization in the country. It's the only youth-serving organization that is connected to a research land-grant university, and that's true in every state of the nation. So it is a very powerful. It's proven to change the lives of young people so that they're more productive. They pursue a higher advanced level of education. They are greater contributors and greater leaders in their communities as adults, and they're more successful in their careers. That's something that we don't want to walk away from. We want to strengthen that, if anything. And so one of the things that means is that we've got to maintain that local presence for 4-H in particular. But for some of our other program areas, we don't necessarily have to be down the street or in the county seat for every level of expertise, because people can get access to that expertise on their phone, on their smartphone, through an app, and so on. And actually, our specialists on campus are producing more smartphone apps than any other entity at Oklahoma State. So we're out-competing the business school, we're out-competing the engineering school, because we really see that as our mission, to bring new technology to bear on production practices or food safety practices or what have you.
So I know this is a conversation out in the country right now, a lot of folks, about the future of that local ag agent. We're not going to necessarily see that stay as it has been.
I think that's right. I think it depends in part on our partners. Because for example, if a county feels they really want to have that kind of presence in the county, we'll partner with them, but they're going to have to help us with a lot of the load on financing that. Or let's say there's a sector of the industry, that's fairly specialized. Maybe pecans, maybe cotton, maybe it's vegetables, farmers markets, whatever. Maybe if there is a willing partner on the private side, maybe it's a commodity organization or again, a community organization that wants to partner with us, then, there's a place for us to bring a person in who's going to specialize in that. They're not going to be in one county necessarily. They may serve multiple counties. But remember, they're going to be delivering through webinars, through fact sheets that are available online, through videos that could be downloaded, those kinds of things. So in a way, it's more personalized because the consumer, the client, can choose exactly what it is they want. We just need to make sure that our library has what they're looking for.
So literally that old model of an ag agent, a home economist, a 4-H person in every county, that's kind of a day gone by.
I think so. Again, with 4-H, I'd say that that's the exception, where we've got to protect that. And where the county feels it's worth it to them to have that local presence for a specific thing, we're with them. But otherwise, we want to be as effective as we can be for as many people as we can, and to me that means we've got to be present in a lot bigger way online. And in the process, we become more individualized, if you will, more personalized than we ever have been before.
I know you're looking for input. You mentioned the Oklahoma Ag Leadership Program alums. You're wanting to get input from them. You're working a lot of groups right now, right?
We are. And actually, Jim Trapp is our Associate Director for Cooperative Extension, has already conducted one survey. I believe he has some listening sessions he's going to be conducting around the state as well. Those are more targeted to specific meetings. So, for example, if there's a cotton workshop or something like that, let's have the discussion there rather than say, well, we want you all to come to our meeting and talk with us about us. We want to go to their meeting, the one that they care about, and say, while you're thinking about this, how can we make ourselves better?